I want to know everything there is to know about you.
Now I'm going to introduce me.
You must have spotted her by now. She's always there.
Don't I deserve love?
Somebody has to like me best.
Hello and welcome back to the Don't Know Her podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. Very delayed on our end, but we are now in the year 2024 and we are back to talk all of the things we love to talk about. As always, I am Scott.
And I am Michael.
And Michael, with us returning to the things that we love to chat about. God, very out of rhythm with all this. Who have we got in store?
We have, well, let's before that, let's, you know, describe the next few people we're going to do. Because 2024 has been super busy, which is why it's taken us a while to get our stuff together. I've moved house. I was going to say change lifestyle. I don't know what that means, but I have a new face. I don't. I have a moustache, but that's not an excuse.
No, yeah, exactly.
But one thing we have achieved is predicting actors and celebrating them who will go on to be Oscar nominated. So in 2024, we have Coleman Domingo, who we just did a year ago. We have Jeffrey Wright joining the ranks of Oscar nominees, really deserved. And we thought, how better should we celebrate this, but also our, you know, a new year, a new like batch of actors, than trying to select some actors who we feel very certain will be Oscar nominees very soon themselves.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. And a very exciting mix that we've got lined up. And because we're both sort of throwing some names in here, it might be interesting our takes on it. I think some of them might feel more on the cusp than others. I don't know, but maybe that's just that we have different feelings about who may make that list in the upcoming years. So I'm excited to jump in and start talking about these people.
I also think it reflects our personalities. I think I'm a much more sort of naive, optimistic sort of person. Where I feel like literally the people you've chosen are very likely. The person I've chosen, the first person we're doing, doesn't even have a film in his future lined up. So I feel like that's how naive and silly I am.
Yes.
But anyway, I've not even said his name.
I mean, not naive and silly. Yeah. I mean, I would... Yeah, maybe we should say his name.
It's Adil Akhtar, who is such a wonderful, wonderful actor presence. I love him being in anything, like TV, film. Like, I don't actually watch that much TV, but when I do, he seems to be there. And yes, so he is an interesting selection for this group of people and actually stands out very much so, maybe in comparison to your first choice in particular, which I absolutely love and can't wait to talk about. But Adil is, I really believe he will be an Oscar nominated actor in the future. Like, he is so talented. He is so nice. He can do anything you want. Like, I imagine he's the sort of actor where a writer or director will say, can you jump? And he'll say, how high? And then jump higher. You know, sports. We got feedback saying I should be more masked, so this is me trying to be.
Thank God, finally. We've waited how many episodes for you to turn on the mask? So, yes, sports references aside, I agree with what you're saying, actually. And that framing is helping me get into your mindset. It is not naive and silly. It is actually thinking where we see him at this point in time. We have seen him in some big movies, some Oscar contender movies in the past, but we've also seen him in a lot of quite high profile British television recently. So I think his profile is evolving at the moment, and therefore I certainly could see it happen. So I'm on board that the Adil actor may get nominated train is in motion.
He's more likely than Claire Foy ever getting one, so I believe in him. I love Claire Foy. Honestly, she's someone who you're like, well, what more does she have to do? Like, she's really good in lots of films that are close to being Oscar nominated. But anyway, this isn't about Claire Foy. This is about Adil. And How would you first come to know him? Or have you come to know him? That's a weird way to word it. How would you know who he was?
That is such a good question. One that I didn't actually consider at all in advance. Okay, so let's see how I'm going to answer this. My gut is telling me I would have first come to know who he was in The Big Sick, probably. But that doesn't seem quite right. But that's what my gut is telling me, that he became a familiar face then, and then it was shows far more recently, like Sherwood a few years ago, a couple of years ago, maybe only one. Which doesn't seem right, because I feel like I've known him a long time. This is interesting, actually. He is a face I swear I've known for a long time. So The Big Sick cannot be the answer. What's your answer? That might help me.
Well, it's Four Lions, so I would have seen Four Lions when it came out. But I guess our age is.
Of course it is. Okay, that Four is Lions. The answer, yeah. Of course.
But then, and I really liked him and his character in that. And then, yeah, like The Big Sick, I remember him like in The Night Manager. See, I can get any film title probably right, but a TV show, less so. And then he keeps turning up in films. And actually, there's a lot of films that I really love that are, for whatever reason, not mainstream celebrated. So like The Nest or The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. Like he turns up in things like Everybody's Talking About Jamie, and you wish that group of people were like, well, if you're going to have this brilliant actor in your film, get them to do something interesting. So oftentimes he is not best utilized.
Yes, no, very much agreed. It's the symptom of many of the kind of performers we get to talk about. Fantastic at the work they're doing and standing out in often brief parts. But you can't help but wish that you got more of them, because even in some of these would be the larger films or smaller films, Four Lions as an example, I remember him from that, yet he's not even in that for that long. I suppose it's that he has the most memorable scene in the film, but it is often far more brisk than I wish. And that's why I suppose I am grateful for the work he has had in television recently, be that Netflix's hugely successful Fool Me Once from these past few months as we record, where he is getting a lead role throughout that show, and a few years ago to Sherwood, like I mentioned earlier, a kind of larger part in that. So I'm encouraged that bigger things will come along, but yes, often far too brief, and I do agree that I wish they were using him as much as we and he deserve.
Yeah, and I don't mind, like, for instance, well, maybe we'll talk about it, there's not much to it, but The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne, he is only in the beginning and the end, but he's so wonderfully cast, and the way he portrays this person who has such, like, awe and curiosity about this very talented human being, even in his different status at the beginning and end, it's just so well captured and so well performed.
Why do you think Emily wanted you to keep painting pictures, Mr. Wayne?
To help people. To show them.
Perhaps. And there's no doubt that you've done that. But I have a rather different theory. I think she wanted you to keep painting so you would not be alone.
And I do think that's really special. So I love him being a character actor. I just hope, I don't know, I just wish he would be given more to do. I also don't mind him in, say, Murder Mystery, where he's just being kind of a rich friend that Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler seem to be having a lot of fun with. Good for him. Get a paycheck, you would hope, although I don't know. And have a great time with some movie stars. I would hope they're good crack.
I would hope so. You would hope so.
But let's get into it. Adil was born in 1980 in London to a Pakistani father and a Kenyan mother. he was always interested in theatre, and he talks in interviews about doing like these small scale productions in theatre and being so excited, like as if it's the best thing you could possibly do, and how that energy is kind of carried over into his professional work. But having said all of that, he did originally complete a degree in law from Oxford Brookes University in 2002. But then he quickly decided to follow his passion. He went to the Actors Studio Drama School and then went to the New School in New York. I don't know what that means, but but apparently it must be good if they've taught him. Then the career didn't come that quickly or easily to him. His first part was in a film called Let's Roll, The Story of Flight 93, where he played a hijacker, a 9/11 hijacker. And in that same year, he was actually detained in the New York airport as a potential attacker too. So great way to start. Not surprising, I guess, with the way the world is, sadly. As mentioned, his next work was in Law and Order in 2006. And then it was in 2010 where he gets a whole lot of big things, including Stranger Things, which was not, sadly, the Netflix show. It's a movie that nobody has really engaged with. But equally, we did have...
Yeah, I caught that and I was like, what?
Imagine, maybe I've not seen this film, so maybe it is a prototype for what happened with the TV show. But he was in Chris Morris's Four Lions playing Faisal, which, as you mentioned rightly, he is kind of a half of a lion as opposed to a full lion because he doesn't make it to the end of the movie. But it is about, you know, this group, they're British jihadists who are, well, let me first try to describe the tone. So it is a satire. It is very dark in its humor at times. It's very silly in its humor sometimes. It's almost like a Charlie Chaplin film in some ways. And there's a really underlying question from the lead character played by Riz Ahmed of, you know, what am I doing? So yeah, we follow this group of jihadists as they basically plan to have a terrorist attack in the local community. And Adil plays like such a pleasant man in this group. Like, he's a very naive man. He is he's really enthusiastic. Like, he's really trying to help them. Like, they're all a bit not all their heads are screwed on in the right way, let's say, in terms of their planning, but Adil is probably the worst, and no, that is what, you know, ends him ultimately, trying to test a bomb and it going horribly wrong as we watch him run into that field and bang. But this film, for some reason, going back to it, I thought it would be really quite aged, or I don't know, like something not quite entertaining about watching it, because it's dark and because of the world is so fucked up. Why would a movie like this exist? But I think it does an incredible job of mixing all of the different sort of tones with characters that you are really interested in, in a story that you give leeway to allow these characters to be themselves, which is a really impressive achievement, I would say, of Chris Morris's. Do you like the movie?
Yes, I think it is it's a surprisingly pleasant movie to watch, and I think you don't think that when you're going into it. Even back when it came out in the cinema back in 2010, I remember sort of thinking the same, like, this is meant to be funny. Everything I hear about it suggests it is, but is it going to be sprightly and fun, which peculiarly it is as well? But it is all about these conflicts, and Riz Ahmed's character in particular is very interesting at the heart of it, and he is playing that fabulously, which further elevates the film. But it is the balance and tone between the reality of what's going on and the levity of the characters, which is very much brought to life, like actors, Adele in particular, perhaps, and allowing them to be sort of goofy. It's when I make this comparison, I mean this quite tenuously, but it's an interesting one because it's just in my mind as I'm thinking about it. But in the year where The Zone of Interest is doing very well and looking at the banality of evil, you've kind of got on a very, very different side of that. You know, you're looking inside the inner workings of a group of people who are making decisions to carry out this act, which is a horrible act. But as you see them going through the motions of this, there is the light in them, but there is also just the banality of what is going on and how they're trying to construct this thing and the decisions they're trying to make. Like the fight between Nigel Lindsay's character of Barry, of saying that they should blow up a mosque because it's going to be more of a statement and it'll drive people to action, versus a deal actor's suggestion of blowing up a boots, which for, you know, listeners on our side of the pond is a very, very familiar high street pharmacy chain. So that outburst is very, very funny, but it is just this banality of what's going on and the incompetence of what's going on, which just makes it very, very amusing. I still enjoyed it as much watching it this time around, and Adele's exit scene, which I guess we can limit to calling it his exit scene in the movie, is very amusing, even in its darkness.
I also, one of my favourite bits rewatching it was him, you know, he's calling people up for pieces for these bombs they're making, and he's describing, he's showing all the different voices he does, and they're all the same.
And one of them's, well, it's my voice.
What?
Can I have 12 bottles of bleach, please?
Yeah, I know what that sounds like. Give me another one.
IRA voice.
IRA voice? They're terrorists, Fessel. Why do you want to do a terrorist voice? You'll get us nicked.
Well, I'll be disguised then, won't I?
Yeah, but as a terrorist. Let's hear the voice.
Can I have 12 bottles of bleach, please?
There's something about that I really enjoyed, and that he has these moments, this character. The comparison would say Zone of Interest to me is so dark, like could not be this tone because those characters are incredibly, you know, they're pulverizing who they're trying to attack. So I guess this is more sort of, the jokes are more like, say, the boots or the mask and even ultimately what they're trying to do, it's all very, for instance, the exit of Adele, it's only himself that he's hurt. And it's just very thoughtfully done in terms of a contemporary film about a contemporary issue, which we do not discuss widely enough in this country, and is not obviously, I would say, discussed very much in film. So yes, very, very much enjoy and recommend Four Lions. And love that it introduced him. Like, what an introduction, what a character.
Yes, a great introduction.
But the sad thing is, so like, he's 30 at this point and he's still living in a van. So like, the film is coming out, it's successful, and he's sending in audition tapes from this van, but nothing is really happening. But he does then, for his sins, does The Dictator, which is, I've not seen The Dictator. Have you seen it?
No, I've not seen it either. I did contemplate it, but something didn't encourage me. I don't know quite what.
Well, yes, I'm assuming it's in the vein of a Borat or... my God, what was the name of the gay one that he did?
Bruno.
Oh, God, help us. So I'm assuming it was a kind of a comedy documentary, and it is focused on a dictator. And we should say this is, of course, Sacha Baron Cohen. And looking at the cast, actually, Ben Kingsley is in it, Anna Faris, John C. Reilly. So actually, screw it. This is the film we should have watched. So please write in and tell us. Apologies. But yes, I've actually never heard anyone ever talk about the dictator. In 2013, he does have a film called Jadoo, and also Convenience and Keeping Up with the Joneses. Again, not films I've ever heard of. In TV, he also had Trolleyed and Utopia. And Utopia is the TV show that gets him his first BAFTA nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Again, I've not seen that, so I can't speak to it. But I'm assuming, as always, he's very good in it.
It's very, very beloved. It will crop up in a lot of sort of best of decade lists of television, best of all time lists in some cases. It is a very, very appreciated work, so I'm glad to hear he was recognised for it.
Mm. And in 2014, he was in War Book, which is a TV film, directed, I want to flag, by Tom Harper, who went on to direct Wild Rose, the brilliant Jesse Buckley film. 2015, he gets to play the role of a lifetime, a Shmi in Pan, directed, I want to say, by, my God, the Pride and Prejudice, Joe Wright? Was this Joe Wright's film?
Yes, correct.
And you went into Pan, didn't you?
Yes, I took on Pan, even though it was panned.
Pan.
At the time, well, it's, yeah, it's another one. It's doing a sort of prequel story for Peter Pan. It's young Peter finding his way to Neverland, encountering Hugh Jackman's Blackbeard, being kind of subject to very similar things that we will then see in the Peter Pan stories itself of Captain Hook. We also have a young Captain Hook character in there too, played by Garrett Hedlund. Yes, that's his name.
Oh my God, hot. Sorry, that's all I got to say.
Yes. I don't really have too much to say for the film other than it is messy. It doesn't really work. There are some very peculiar choices. Hugh Jackman singing Nirvana is strange. But would then go on to sort of be replicated in The Greatest Showman. So maybe it inspired significant moments in his career. But it is a mess. It makes, you know, where Hook ends up kind of having a bad legacy, and it's not looked on too favourably by Steven Spielberg himself, for example, it makes Hook look tremendous.
Wait.
There is that. So if you want a reason to sort of elevate Hook, then Pan does that.
Sorry, Steven Spielberg doesn't like Hook. I love Hook. I'd put that up in my top 10 Spielberg movies.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it's it hit us at the right time and we watched it at the right time. For him, it's, I think, the one of the few he considers to wish he had done things differently on. But anyway, the film doesn't really work. Adil as Smee, though, is very charming, and it's really nice to see him in this kind of lovable, earnest, dorky... It's kind of, there's a real sweetness to his character around other characters who are not, who feel more hard-edged or larger than life. He sort of is this sweetness as kind of the pre-Smee that we come to know in Peter Pan version of the character. Sort of the monitor over all of these children as they're mining for fairy dust. He's sort of making sure that everything has been done to plan. But he's just so... He's just got such a lovely energy in it. And even though that's not a surprise given other things we've had from him, there was a gentleness and cartoonishness in a way I hadn't seen him do before here. So I was glad to have watched it to get an even fuller picture of Adil's range.
Where's the boy? Spill the beans or I'll spill your blood.
I'll never tell. He's right over there.
Wouldn't recommend the film, but... happy that he got some work in a big old blockbustery type movie and got to work with some cool people. Like, Kathy Burke was in there too.
Really?
Doing
a
questionable Irish accent, her Irish parentage. But
I will say,
we still love Kathy Burke all the
English
same.
People pretending they're Irish than doing accents are probably the worst at it.
She plays a nun who is in charge of the orphanage where Peter is at the beginning.
Okay, that sounds even better for an Irish character. Okay, In 2015, as well as Pan, we also have River and Capital TV shows that Idila was in. I remember River, that was terrific. Mm. And then 2016, we have The Night Manager and Flowers on TV. 2017, we have him working with the legendary Diane Keating in Hampstead. The legendary legendary Judy Dench in Perfect. Victoria and Abdul. And the legendary Helen Hunt. Oh my God, Holly Hunter, even. In The Big Thick. oh God. And you are rewatching Big Thick currently. Well, not currently right now, but in your current life.
Yeah, I'm just sat off the side watching that, letting you chat away. I'm watching The Big Sick. Everything's good. Yes, I mean, when I watched Big Sick at the time, I thought it was great and the performances all worked, especially Holly Hunter, of course, but I am probably biased and inclined that way. But I only managed to catch a wee bit of it before we jumped into the call, because I was like, oh, I want to refresh myself and remind myself of what Adil was like in it. But I'm really taken with it this time, and it's just really working for me. And granted, I'm only half the way in, and it is a two-hour-long film, which is probably quite unusual for a film of its type.
The best way to be.
But it's, yeah, really working. So I'm excited after this to go and continue with The Big Sick. But he's really wonderful in it, actually, and it's fun to see him in this type of role in an American comedy, playing Pakistani but living in America. And the dynamics and everything about it, I just think, are so well realised. I'm just really enjoying returning to it, and really glad to see him in a movie like that, and one that had Oscar traction, as we mentioned earlier, being nominated for its screenplay.
So, the 2018 gives him a movie which I did watch and will talk nothing about, called Swimming with Men, which is the most bland British comedy thing about Rob Brydon, you know, learning how to be not a boring husband and dad and lawyer and whatnot, and engage with other men to just be more comfortable in life, which is fine if it works for you, but God, it was dull. So that's what he did there. A great cast.
Okay. Not the one for me to check out.
Yes, I wouldn't say so. Then we have Les Mis. He plays Thénardier, the pub lord, in the TV version, which is brilliant. It's brilliant he was cast. I never watched it, so I can't speak to the show. I don't think it was a musical. I think it was just a straight drama. Does this ring a bell?
Not ringing a bell for me.
He then, in 2019, like, this really excites me. He is in Murder Mystery, the Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler murder mystery action comedy. And, like, a whodunit with violence and cars and such. And I think he's so much fun as this, like, he's one of the rich men that they accidentally spend their holiday with, because Jennifer Aniston has never been on holiday, and Adam Sandler decides now is the time because you're going to leave me. And actually, I think that sort of storyline doesn't need any more development or flavor. So all these other characters and all this other action is a really wonderful device to get away from it.
Oh, we were actually wondering, what exactly is a Maharaja? I mean, how do you have to go to a school for that?
Y'all was born into the game.
Oh, you're born into
it. Okay, born into it.
What are you doing, Nick?
I am.
Nick's a detective.
Oh, Ty, you ever wet up anyone?
What's that?
Yeah, you know, like, drill, bust a cap, wait. She's like, pseow, pseow, pseow.
Never shot anybody.
Oh, God.
Which is a good thing.
Nick is, well, it's just that you're a terrible shot.
And yeah, I really love that movie. And I love the second one. And I have a real, like, nostalgia. Like, they came out during COVID, the first one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
They sure did. But I didn't watch them until more recently, to be honest. And I, you know, certainly don't think they're great films, but I think they are really good fun, and it's a nice way to spend a few hours to sit and see them scrambling to piece the everything together in this murder mystery.
Yeah, and also I didn't know this, but he's in Killing Eve as well in 2019, which is terrific that he's in that and a very celebrated show. And also in 2019 is the first of two series of a TV show that I have a real fondness of called Back to Life. Have you ever seen it?
Back to Life? No, I haven't. But I do remember getting a lot of recommendations to watch it.
Oh, it's wonderful. And he's wonderful in it as a, you know, it's about this woman who's come back from a life sentence. And she, it's a dark comedy, but he's like the romantic foil to her. And he's just purely gorgeous to watch in that TV show. So I do recommend that. I feel like it's on Netflix or BBC Player or something. So now we're getting like into a rhythm. Like he's getting parts in exciting things. And then 2020, he has Enola Holmes, which again is the first of two that he appears in. And The Nest, which I know it wasn't a huge hit, but is, you know, an exciting movie. Carrie Coon, Jude Law. 2022, we have Everybody Talking About Jamie. So he's in a musical, which in theory could have been a big deal, but again, didn't quite translate. But really excitingly, and probably the most wonderful film in terms of his performance and his status in it of his career so far, is Ali and Ava, which is, again, I'm going to butcher this name because I feel like that's the proper way to do it, Cleo Barnard.
Yeah, Cleo? That's what I would say. Yeah.
Do you know? And it's set in Bradford, and he plays Ali and Claire Rushbrook, a terrific actor who we've spoken about, no doubt, before in different films. She plays Ava. And they connect. Like, these are two people who, in their own ways, are stuck in a low point of their life, or a lull even, because it's a very like naturalistic, everyday sort of thing. And they connect.
Warm these up.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Wait. Listen, don't
move. What? What?
You feel how warm they are? Just focus on that. Nothing else.
And they connected because of their kindness. Like, she is a remedial teacher, and he's in charge of the renting of houses, but he also is like this, bringing this neurodiverse child to school, and he is just doing loads of different odd jobs and just being present in people's lives. And he offers her a lift home from school one day when it's raining. And the way their journey progresses, because she has children and grandchildren from previous relationships, and he has a marriage that's breaking down. I just absolutely love it. And there's things in films that I love, like props. So there's something to do with a chair that he had made for his wife that he's separating from. And there's just things, details like that, which just make me so... I just find it so pleasurable in a movie when they plant seeds of things and you see them come to fruition and be so important to a character or the story. So I love it. And I remember seeing it in the cinema, and it brought me so much joy. It's that sort of film.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I mean, Cleo Barnard makes really tightly put together, incredibly emotional films, and in some cases not the easiest watch, but very, very rewarding. And this one is far more hopeful and lighter than some of her previous work, and quite immediately so. It feels full of life, and not to say that her others don't, like The Selfish Giant, for example, but you are so... It's so wonderful to be in the company of these two characters, played by Claire and Adele. And it's that the film is full of life. The other performers in the film bring such energy and authenticity and, I mean, all quite, I guess, boring words, but it feels very lived in and joyous in these kind of smaller moments. There's a sequence where all the kids are throwing stones at his car and, you know, they get out and they start shouting at the kids, but then he sort of kind of plays up to it and turns up the music and they all start singing and dancing and then they all pile in the car and they drive off. And it's just really lovely cinema to sit with and appreciate that, you know, people come into lives for different reasons and at different times, and it can be the most beautiful thing when those things line up, and that's really what it's about. And really gorgeous sequences of him dancing on top of his car. He loves to listen to music in his headphones and it's very misty and it keeps kind of cutting back to this. And I think it's about a man who in many ways is inhibited by his kind of life maybe falling away from a little bit, his marriage breaking down and him not wanting that to happen. But he's completely uninhibited in these other ways, and the way he wants to be, like you say, with people and spreading joy and finding those moments in himself. I just found it, like her other films, to be really, really rewarding. And I think he is sublime here. He is really, really wonderful. And it's just the true testament to how fantastic he can be and how fantastic he could be given other great opportunities like this, to be in a lead, supported by a director, a writer, an auteur who really knows their work and believes in the vision and what it can do. And just, yeah, big fan. Was a really good one. And it was a first watch for me, actually, watching for this.
And, you know, watching it again, and I was trying to break down the story of, like, why do I love this so much? But Claire's character, Ava, you know, she is giving so much love to everyone else, but is not getting much in return. Like, she's taken for granted.
Mm.
And Ali's love language is showing love and being present and, you know, focusing on someone. So like how that is illustrated and then how that, you know, evolves with them together, that's why I think it works so well.
Yeah.
And it's a really well observed piece. And yeah, to watch somebody deserving of happiness get it in a kind of a kitchen sink drama, to use kind of basic terminology of British film, is actually wonderful. You know, it's not that it's 100% light or anything, but it's dealing with, you know, themes of racism, of class, of like a real fucked structure. But it is, it's a really fucking awful structure that I guess the UK landscape has. But anyway, all of those can exist, but also have this really beautiful story. So yeah, and I agree. I love, like, The Selfish Giant. I've never seen the Ruth Wilson film that Cleo Bernard did.
Yeah, that one's the weaker of the four, but still worth a look, yes.
So this was a big film in his career in terms of awards as well. He wins the British Independent Film Award for Best Actor, and he also gets nominated for Best Lead Actor at the BAFTAs. I totally forgot to mention that in 2017, for the TV show Murdered by My Father, he becomes the first actor that isn't white to win the Best Lead Actor. Wow. Isn't that crazy? So this is for TV now, but in my head there'd be so many people, but then I don't know TV. And then you might have seen this also in 2021, Sweet Tooth. Have you ever watched that on TV?
No, I've not seen Sweet Tooth. Tell me about it.
Oh, no, I know nothing about it. I thought for some reason it was really popular, and you're very good at TV. But no, I don't know what that is. But he is in it, and it is very popular. He's also in the movie called The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. And that is Benedict Cumberbatch and Claire Foy. Kind of romantic period drama. That is also a biopic. Kind of about why cats are so popular in Western culture, in homes. Is a really simplified way to talk about that film. But really wonderful movie, and he's so brilliant in it, as always. In 2022, we have Save the Cinema, which is a film I watched for Samantha Morton, and he again is lovely in it. I don't think you watched that, right?
I didn't, know, but always happy to hear he's lovely.
Yeah, this is it. I just say he's lovely and everything. And and he also has Sherwood in that this year, gets another BAFTA for Best Supporting Actor. Deserved. Incredible. He's incredible in Sherwood. And then we have Enola Holmes 2. Then in 2023, we have Murder Mystery 2. In 2024, already, we've had Fool Me Once, as you're right to say, is a huge Netflix hit. And will there be a second one? Have you seen it all?
Good question. Will there be a second one? If they do, it certainly won't be with the same characters. it could be... It would be interesting to pick back up with his character, though, to be honest. So they could continue there. That would sort of make sense. But I think this story's wrapped up. But, I mean, I can imagine there certainly be scope for him to be working with... I mean, this is a Harlan Coben project, and there's lots of kind of his crime thriller type TV shows floating around, a lot of them being made into sort of British TV adaptations at the moment. So surely there is eyes on him to appear again, because others from his previous shows that have been on recently were cropping up in this one. So maybe that trend could continue. But yes, it's exciting to see him in very much a lead in that show, which, you know, was the biggest kind of Netflix hit at the start of this year, 2024. But it's very popular. For me, it didn't all work, even though there were moments where I was enjoying the wildness of the story and certainly enjoying seeing him get, you know, a decent amount of screen time. Let's go with that on my take on Fool Me Once.
Okay. Well, that's good, because, I mean, I don't know if we'll see him in anything new this year. He is in one episode of a TV show called Show Trial. But in general, I can't see anything as IMDb. So that is a shame. Now, I have two questions for you. The first is, what do you imagine is the type of role he could win an Oscar or be nominated for an Oscar for? And then my second role is, what would you like to see him in?
I think if we were to see him get an Oscar nomination, I can imagine it being with someone who is kind of a master of, say, the British kitchen sink drama, as we kind of alluded to earlier, but might be more higher profile in terms of sort of awards visibility. So if, for example, we were to get like a Mike Lee type film, I could see him in that being, say, the central kind of patriarch of a larger family, or it could even be something like we've seen in Happy-Go-Lucky with someone like Sally Hawkins getting a lot of awards attention for that. It could be somewhere in that kind of sweeter spot of the Mike Lee universe. I could imagine, given the right role in that sort of capacity, he would really shine, and I think a lot of people would pay attention. Whether something like that is likely or not at this point, I'm not sure, but it would definitely be something like that. Or to go back to talking about Steve McQueen and the inevitable traction which will come up, assuming Blitz is the success we assume it will be when it comes out, a Steve McQueen project. And you know what? That's also what I would absolutely love to see him in. I would love to see him work with Steve McQueen, get something really meaty and that has something to say, which he can really sink his teeth into. Or if it was to be like Steve McQueen doing a Widows type thing, where it could be a deal in a really thoughtfully well-made thriller, gosh, that would be exciting. So those two answers almost could overlap for me, but that's what I'm thinking. What about you?
Well, yeah, mine is overlapping too. I was trying to think of like, what is this sort of film? So we've said he's lovely and all the time. Well, I've said he's lovely the whole time here. And I recently was talking about a film where I feel like somebody lovely being in the lead part would have made me more interested in the story, which is All of Us Strangers. I find Andrew Scott just a bit too sad already, automatically kind of dreary or intense. So I would love to see Well, I'd love to see... Sorry, I don't know why I paused. I'd love to see Andrew Haig work with Adil and to have him central to the story. And you know what I was also... I was thinking, which I know they've just made a TV show of it in the... in the UK, but the British Post Office scandal, do you know, with the Horizon software, where loads of postmasters were accused, they were like literally blamed for shortcomings created by these by the software, and there were suicides, people had like lost their homes, lost families, you know, suffered incredibly because of this scandal, which was covered up by the British government. And I thought, because Andrew Haig is so good at dealing with stories of like ghosts and like past lives and what is possible and what's not, I was like, wow, imagine him focusing on a story centered on Adil playing a postmaster covering this subject. And I thought, A, that would be a really fascinating film. And B, clearly would have to at least win him a BAFTA, right?
For sure.
No doubt. I know for no doubt he would be better than whoever wins Best Actor this year at the Oscars. Adil would be better in this made-up movie than those people. Well, I'm only joking. They're all really good. But I'm just saying, I know he'll be brilliant.
And of course he would be brilliant, so... We're here to champion that, and we're here to wish the manifesting the Oscar nomination in his future. So I think it's good that we say he will be brilliant. He will be brilliant. He will.
He will. I was, as you also know, I wanted him in Paddington 3 or 4.
Of course, always.
As I want everybody to be in Paddington. I think actually he would be wonderful in a Paddington film. Clearly.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Clearly, imagine him as like a friend of Paddington, or Wonka too. If we're just going to have him in Paul King films, Mamma Mia, I haven't mentioned in a while. I feel like when I've re-listened to some of our podcasts, I just mentioned the same films or same sequels. but imagine a deal in Mamma Mia 3.
Perfect.
Imagine. So on that note, like, we're clearly going to get a lot more great performances and work with him involved. And yeah, thank you so much for starting off our new year and our new bunch of episodes with this choice of mine. I feel very lucky.
Oh, good. Well, I was overjoyed by this choice because I think you have championed him for a while and have made me a fan. So it was a delight to go and remind myself a few of his performances and check out some ones I hadn't before. And wish for that Oscar nom in the future. So thank you for, as always, allowing me to join you on this journey.
And yeah, and I'm very much looking forward to joining you on your choice next time for what I think will be an absolute wild ride of conversations. because when I was looking through their filmography, there's so many films that I forgot that I've already not only seen, but like, enjoyed in very specific ways.
Yes, we are.
So yes, I can't wait.
We are taking it in a different direction, which is fun, but yes, I'm very excited to jump in with that one. So we look forward to having you all back then.
Yes. And where can people find us or tell us how good Utopia is, because we didn't know?
You can do all of those things by reaching out on Twitter or X or Instagram at don'tknowher_pod, or if you wish to drop us an email, you can do that at don'tknowherpod@gmail.com.
Yes, and please do like, review, share, all those things. That's really wonderful. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Scott, as always. And just thank you, life. Thank you, Adil.
Thank you, life. Thank you, Adil. Goodbye, everyone. Have a wonderful day.